Ladies, everyone needs to listen to this episode today. I don't care how old you are. The information that's going to be shared here is something that every single woman needs to listen to. And this has had a tremendous impact on the harmony I have in my life. Our guest today is Dr. Mary Claire Haber. She is the leading expert in all things pause, postmenopause, menopause. And if I had been educated in my 30s on this information, I can tell you what the entire decade of my 40s would have looked very differently. So regardless of your age, I cannot encourage you enough to listen in today, start following Dr. Haber, and make sure you get her new book, which we're going to be talking about here on the episode today. Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to the Work-Life Harmony Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Summerall. I'm the creator of the Top Program and Top Planner, teaching all things time management, organization, and productivity for women. I'm also a mom and wife, and just like you, I'm juggling hashtag all the things while running multiple businesses and a family. Guess what? You don't have to feel constantly overwhelmed, exhausted, and stressed out. There is another way. When you have the right systems and tools to plan and manage your time, you can live a life of harmony. This is your show to learn from me and other amazing women how to master your time, planning, and organization to skyrocket your productivity so you can have work-life harmony. If you're ready to stop feeling overwhelmed, this is the show for you. And if you're new here, I'd love to get you started with my work-life harmony assessment. All you have to do is DM me on Instagram at Megan Summerall with the word harmony, and my team will send it right over. Hey everyone, welcome back to Work-Life Harmony. I have a guest that, I mean, literally I couldn't sleep last night. I was so excited, mostly because it gives me an opportunity to thank her for how she has changed my life. So Dr. Mary Claire Haber, I would love to welcome you to the show. I feel like me introing you would not do it justice. So I would love for you to tell everyone a little bit about yourself, who you are and who you help.
So my name is Mary Claire Haber. I'm a board certified OBGYN. I have other certifications as a menopause practitioner and also as a culinary medicine specialist. And I've kind of married all of those degrees with my passion for menopause care. I'm trying to get a groundswell around the lack of resources for menopausal women, whatever stage you're in, peri, you know, during and post. And I put my toe in the water here when I was trying to get menopausal women to approach their nutrition differently, which was my first book, The Galveston Diet and the online program. And that kind of started catapulting me into the social media sphere. But you know, as I was talking to more and more people online and focusing my medical practice on menopausal women, I realized, you know, we have a ton of work to do. And there's still so much of a lack of education and knowledge, not only with our healthcare providers, but with just the world in general. That led to my second book, The New Menopause, as a way for me to offer resource and guidance to women to how to navigate this part of their lives outside of the nutrition, you know, and wellness stuff I had talked about before. So as we stand now, this second book's coming out at the end of April. We have sold almost 200,000 of Galveston Diets. We have over 4 million followers across all social media platforms. And I just spend all day, every day talking about menopause and people still want to listen to me.
What's been shocking to me since I've been in your world is how much there is to learn. And ladies, I want you all to
listen. I'm still learning every day. Every day.
I bet. And ladies, the reason I really wanted to have Dr. Haber here on the show is this is something that we need to learn about and we need to start learning about it early. So I personally started experiencing what I thought was perimenopause symptoms when I turned 40. And everyone I talked to said, that's not it. You're too young. And I was disregarded everywhere I went. And so I kept thinking like there's something wrong with me or I'm just getting old or, you know, and I just kept getting one door slammed after another. And I hit actual full, like I'm in postmenopause. I hit it younger. I was 48, which is, you know, on a little bit on the younger side. And everyone just kept telling me it wasn't it. And the only solution anyone ever gave me was, oh, you just need to get on testosterone, like without any conversation with you. Exactly.
And thankfully, last year, a dear friend of mine, Mindy, is the one that introduced me to you and your book. I got it. It, ladies, this changed my life. If I had been educated sooner, my 40s would have looked very different. But now I'm in my 50s. And I tell you what, I feel like I am kicking ass on the postmenopause side because of the education and the knowledge that you give out there. And so I really, really, really want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
And so I thought we could maybe kick things off. Again, ladies, you don't have to be in what you think is menopause to get empowered with this information. So what is the difference between perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause?
No, great question. So let's kind of back it up to when our eggs form. Okay, it's the easiest way for me to explain this. So we're actually born, a lot of women don't understand this, and I kind of didn't get it, you know, and how it really related to my menopause, even as a doctor. We're born with all of our eggs.
They're crazy to think about.
When we're in utero at 5 months, your mom was 5 months pregnant with you when you had the most amount of eggs that you're ever going to have, okay? And they start deteriorating then. So we start with quality and quantity, okay? You're born, you're down to about 1 million eggs. Okay, we're not going to ovulate 1 million eggs. So they continue to deteriorate. We begin to ovulate at puberty, meaning we lose, you know, one of those eggs gets set free. And is it fertilized or not? Not in pregnancy, no pregnancy. So by the time we're 30, we're down to about 10% of our egg supply. So we're down to about 100,000 eggs. Okay. And then by the time we're 40, this is average. So you had less than that because you came into menopause at the earlier end of average. Okay. Then by the time we're 40, we're down to 3% on average. 3%. Then when we hit full menopause, we're done. We have exhausted our egg supply through ovulation and then through egg quality and that you just, they just dissolve. So it doesn't happen to a man. He right. makes genetic material fresh from puberty until death. He can father a child the day he dies. Not likely, but it's still possible.
Right.
So perimenopause, so we have these stages. We have premenopause. Basically, you're ovulating regularly. You have enough eggs, good enough quality, where your body is just humming along in its normal, perfect cycle. Now, that's a healthy one. 10% of us don't ovulate regularly for different reasons, okay? So I don't want to exclude those people. But every month, your menstrual cycle looks like an EKG. You know, you got a surge of estrogen, then a surge of progesterone in the second half. And we'll repeat this cycle about every 28 days until perimenopause. So perimenopause is when you reach a critical egg level that your body is, and it's, you're not producing your estrogen and progesterone like you used to. And that is going to start expressing symptoms in your body. It could be your brain at first. It could be your sleep disruption at first. It could be musculoskeletal pain at first. You know, it's usually weight gain. And not so much weight gain goes up with age, regardless of menopause, okay? But body composition changes. We have new visceral fat deposition. Where and how we store fat changes. That's what led to the Galveston diet. So perimenopause is something, right? Okay? Now, medically, we like to define that by the menstrual cycle. You begin to not ovulate regularly. Now, that in your body could be expressed as missing periods, heavy periods, light periods, no periods, hemorrhaging periods. Everything's on the table. So, but it's much, much more than that.
Right.
Menopause is one day in your life, medically, 1 year after your last bleed. Now, I hate that we define it by that because it really signifies right. ovarian failure, castration, natural castration. I mean, I hate to use these horrible terms, but I want people to realize what's happening in their bodies. So everything after that, from the last menstrual period till death, is postmenopause. Okay? So everything I say is, so when are these ages? So average age of menopause is 51 in the U.S. However, normal is still 45 to 55.
perimenopause when
a lot earlier than what people think of, right?
When you're not 50, you can't even be talking about it.
Right. We're not teaching perimenopause in med school and residency. I received zero lectures on perimenopause. Zero lectures. It wasn't until I was practicing and one of my older, lovely professors, male, absolutely fabulous, was like, there's something, you know, perimenopause is really affecting women. I was like, really? And, you know, this is not general knowledge.
Yeah.
So the perimenopause symptoms begin at least 7 to 10 years before your period stops. So do the math. It is completely reasonable for a woman between 35 and 45 to begin to express perimenopausal symptoms that are being gaslit and ignored and dismissed and misdiagnosed because of a lack of education and training. Sometimes people are just assholes who shouldn't be in medicine, but outside of that, we are not training our healthcare providers to recognize this. And they're only taught to recognize menopause, which is 51. Blah, blah, blah. And so a woman at 43, 44 is coming in gyne clinic. We used to call it when I was a resident, the whiny woman syndrome, WW.
And that's what it felt like. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to bring it up anymore because they're going to think I'm just
saying complaints. You can't put your finger on it. Oh my God, yeah. Can't sleep. She's gaining weight. And we're all like, oh, I did not know to recognize this as classic perimenopause. I do now. I mean, I was part of the problem. But it was a systemic educational thing. It's a problem the way society treats a woman as she ages. It's a, you know, we are more than little men with breasts and uteruses and ovaries. You know? Our health is different. Our needs are different.
Yeah.
Anyway,
oh my gosh.
For days.
So one of the things that I talk about a lot with women as they're, you know, supporting them and getting control of their calendars and time and all of that is the importance of aligning the right type of things that we do during our day to the right times where we have more energy and we don't. And I know for me, that was one of the things that I battled quite a bit in perimenopause was very erratic bouts of energy. And I almost couldn't find a norm of like I used to, where I'd have my, you know, bursts of energy in the morning and all of that. How is perimenopause or even postmenopause affecting our both sleep and our energy throughout the day?
Okay. So in perimenopause, our brain, our hypothalamus and pituitary glands are pointing because they're behind our eyes and back in the brainstem. The hypothalamus has a finger in the pulse and the blood. Okay. And it's constantly checking on estrogen levels. That's, what's going on? What's going on? Okay. Good estrogen levels. You ovulate, right? Estrogen levels are good. That part of the brain is like, we're cool. We're good. We're good. All right. So then that estrogen from ovulation, that estrogen level starts declining, right? And progesterone goes up and the brain's like, whoa, estrogen's starting to get low. Hey, pituitary, make more LH and FSH, which are the stimulating hormones for the ovary. So those pulsatile things start happening. LH and FSH starts rising. And then you start, all the eggs, you get about 100 of them maybe that are like, oh, it's my turn to ovulate. They all go into a race. The cells around them, they're called thecalutian cells, start producing more estrogen, you know, and then the LH surges from the pituitary gland. That makes one of those eggs pop. We have an ovulation. And then the cells left behind in what we call the corpus luteum start producing progesterone, which surges at the second half, okay, which is why we can kind of predict what our energy levels are going to be when that's happening normally. In perimenopause, the ovaries are starting to decline. It's much harder for those cells to do their job. So that brain's like, whoa, it starts making massive levels of LH and FSH to try to get, you know, that poor little ovary to do its job. And so it takes longer and it's a harder job and we're getting less estrogen and progesterone produced. And so that's why we lose the predictability of our energy levels, the predictability of our cycles. You know, it might be fine for a few months and then it goes back to being cattywampus and then then it's okay for a little while. And it's literally the hormonal zone of chaos. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that might happen, can you realize how women would just feel so much more normal?
Yes.
Knowing, okay, it's happening. This is my time. I know what's going on. Literally, all I do is validate on the internet. I mean, I've made an empire out of validation of this is real.
I think when we get validated, I know for me, everything I read, I was like, oh my, it's just almost, first of all, you get a chance to forgive yourself because as women, we are going to blame ourselves, right? But then it also has taken, I can almost laugh at some stuff now. I'm like, oh, there it is. And I noticed the other day you shared the Holderness reel that she did about me. And I love that it just, gave some lightness and some humor to it. And it makes us all go, oh, it's not just me. Like there is I'm in a community
it's
and we are
all of us
together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And each of our expression is really, really diverse, really different, as individual as our fingerprints, how menopause is going to hit us. We will all eventually stop having periods and not be able to bear children anymore. Thank God. And, but how each organ system is affected. There are estrogen receptors, progesterone receptors, testosterone receptors in every organ system in your body. And so we really have these unique expressions of how it's going to affect us, which makes it harder for doctors to see this common thread. They're not being taught. They don't know how to recognize it. This is all very vague. Every single woman seems to be going through this. But I don't know. Here's some antidepressants.
And it's also different. I think it was very interesting for me. And ladies, this is why I believe everyone needs to read this book, is it's the empowerment of knowledge that you give us that allowed me to change the conversation I was having with my healthcare provider. And ultimately, what I've learned from you empowered me to get a different healthcare provider that was willing to have the conversations, that was interested. Had she actually made sure, I was like, I'm not going on with anyone that hasn't at least read this book and has some knowledge. But as I was going through a checklist of, symptoms, if you will, it was astounding for me to see things I never would have related to menopause on there. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's because of it. That's because of it. And I think that as women, again, reading what you are offering, we need to empower ourselves with the knowledge to take better control of our health, because we're not in the thing where we're putting women on ice floes and sending them out to sea at age 60. I mean, we're living so long. We're going to have such a large portion of our life in this menopause window. We deserve to have healthcare providers taking care of us the right way. And I think that's your biggest gift to the world, is giving this knowledge out there so that we can find the resources that we need.
Yeah, it's the, healthcare is really ignoring the menopausal woman after reproductive, or, once our reproduction is over, when you look at the resources and funding that go into women's health, there's like, we get 0.3%. of the women's healthcare research dollars, menopause does.
Mm.
Almost all of it goes into reproduction, getting you pregnant, keeping you pregnant, which are important things. But I'm not, I've got great training in, but just not in menopause care. But everything else I learned was amazing. There's just, yeah. And so, one of my biggest advocacy platforms is like getting the entire, the American Medical Association on board with rethinking menopause as medicine and how we treat the menopausal woman.
Oh, so good.
For the last third of her life, not just the middle third.
Yeah. And it's the knowledge I have getting from you. It's interesting. So here I am on the other end, and then I have a daughter who's 13 on the, just starting into this. And the conversations I get to have with her now, because I know when I was younger, it wasn't talked about. It was so hush hush. You didn't talk about that. Well, now I get to talk to her openly and freely about it, and it's giving her more knowledge about what's going on in her body to talk to me as well. And so, again, any mom out there, a parent out there reading this, if you have young girls, I think it's incredibly empowering, so that we can normalize that conversation there too. I get a lot of women, and I know I fell victim to this too when I became a mom, always blaming motherhood is to why we forgot things, like the common phrase of mom brain. Oh, I have mom brain. Oh, I have mom brain. Does menopause affect that kind of remembering stuff part of our brain as well?
Yeah. So the brain is actually completely rewired. The effect that estrogen, the loss of estrogen, it's two things. One, inflammatory markers in the entire body, including the brain, go up. So we have much more neuroinflammation, which makes the way our neurons process not work as well. Number two, estrogen has a tremendous effect on our neurotransmitters. So when we lose the estrogen, we have less dopamine, which is why ADHD symptoms, for us, it's not usually hyperactivity. Here we go. The word can't come out of my mouth right now. It's happening. And we're not hyperactive. We're attention deficit. So word recall, all of it. And our serotonin. So our mental health, you know, the norepinephrine and serotonin levels decline in the absence of the healthy estrogen levels. And so all of this is so important. Lisa Moscone's book is coming out. Anyone who has any family history of Alzheimer's, dementia, you know, mental health struggles, please go and get her book. Because not only is she validating, she is the world's expert in the woman's menopausal brain. She's a neuroscientist. She did PET scans throughout a woman's menopause journey. She can show you every single brain change you can expect. It's absolutely fascinating. Her book comes out in March. So I think
between your two books, this is going to educate all of us on everything we need to know.
I think that's my plan. You know, and my book is obsolete in 5 years. That so much new information comes out and all this new research. So then I have to write another book, you know.
I tell you, what you have gifted women as a whole, again, is life changing. My only regret is not having found this sooner than I did. So ladies, I truly can't encourage you enough. We're going to have the links in the show notes to go out, pre-order your new book. Can you hold up and tell everyone the name of it so they know where to go search for it as well? So it is The New Menopause. And educate yourself. If you're 20, get the book and educate yourself.
Really will set you up for success in your menopause.
It will. And if you're on the other end of the spectrum, as I am, it's not too late to get educated.
Never too
late. I was able to change.
Absolutely.
Yeah, completely changed my relationship with my healthcare provider. I had very anti-hormone replacement therapy vibes from everything I heard. I got very educated on the reality of a lot of benefits from that through you. It allowed me to make different choices for myself. And I just think that until the rest of our healthcare community gets caught up on this, ladies, this is your leading resource for information. And I mean, truly go follow Dr. Haver on Instagram. There's a wealth of free knowledge that you give out there. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for changing my life and for making 50 and beyond going to be amazing. And thank you for all that you put out into the world.
Getting on top of all things time management, organization, and productivity doesn't have to stop just because this episode is over. If you want one-tap access to all of my training and current top podcasts, go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Pink Bee app. It's one word, the Pink Bee. It is jam-packed with simple yet powerful tips and strategies to get you out of overwhelm and into harmony. And if you have a question you want me to cover on a future episode, go to iTunes and ask your question in the podcast review section. And while you're there, don't forget to leave a 5-star review.